But we've got so many different things to talk about. I'm going to just start you out by asking you to tell me what the character of Willie Stark means to you.
Willie Stark was a very important character in my personal life, in that his relationship with Anne and Jack Burden's response to it, and this is a very personal sidelight to begin with, inspired me to discuss that relationship in terms of the subject of jealousy with my students very passionately and very deeply, and it was a difficult thing to explain to them. And it was a criticism of Jack's attitude, given the fact that he would not do something, a key word, a major word in the novel, because Anne keeps saying, do something. And Willie Stark had done not only something, but many very great things. And so the very day I did that, my wife told me that if I didn't do something about my she called it insane jealousy. I wasn't quite insane. She thought for the first time she might have to leave me. Only way she could get relief. She wouldn't say, I'm leaving you. But anyway, intuitively, there was a great rush from the discussion and my mental process to what I said next, which was, I'll never be jealous again. And I wasn't. So it's very interesting how there's some kind of phantom arc from immersion in a work and in a character, Jack Burden and Willie Stark and their relationship, with Anne involved in that case, to one's own life. And usually you cannot trace that effect, but when you know it's there perhaps, but you can't articulate it. But it was amazing that that day I could articulate it with great certainty, never again.
And of all the different things that can be said of great literature, one of them ultimately is that it contains lessons for life. It seems that this one was really quite particular for your life.
Oh, yes. And there are two other books which I think Warren knew and would have admired that have had that effect on me philosophically. The Stranger by Camus really affected my conception of existentialism, which was pretty close to my outlook. But it was his outlook, not Sartre's, which was that life is absurd, as with the situation of Sisyphus rolling the rock up to the mountain, and then when he gets up there, he has to walk right back down to the plain and roll it up the mountain again. But that as he's walking down, his life is exhilarating. He has an exhilarating feeling, attitude toward life. And Camus said, you must behave as if life were not absurd. You must give meaning to a meaningless life. There's some of that in Warren, because I think Warren, in this book especially, this is one I know best, Warren, his interest is not so much politics as the nature of life and the importance of knowing and the importance of doing.
And he expresses that, if I could just interrupt for a second,
he expresses that through
Willie Stark as actor and Jack Burden as sideline observer, the other half, if you will.
Right. The what I call the charged image of the novel, and I've used it talking about other novels, including my own, and incorporated it into some of my own novels, is the web. The passage where it says about the Civil War ancestor, who turned out not to be his ancestor, but he thought he was, that Jack Burden was researching when he was a graduate student, got up and walked away from it, that Cass Mastern lived for a little while on this earth, and then he learned that if you touch the web ever so lightly, the spider knows it, and he will zoom to you and inject the venom, and you may not even know you touched the web. In the case of Willie Stark, he consciously and deliberately touched the web. You can touch it at many points with many different responses. He touched the web I think not knowingly, without using that image. But Jack seemed, although after everything was over, he articulated this image, he seemed unaware, because of his attitude, that he was touching the web in a much more powerful way in terms of the consequences than Willie Stark. Willie Stark in many, 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 many different ways, but Jack Burden, when he started investigating at the request of the governor, he, having touched that web, he set in motion the death of Willie Stark, of Adam Stanton, Ann Stanton's brother, of other people in, of his father,
Judge
his
Irwin.
Own real father,
Judge
yeah,
Irwin.
Judge Irwin, and not knowing he was his father, and thinking, well, you know, you really need to know what I found out about you, and you are so great, and I love you so much, and you have betrayed me, and so I'm going to tell you, because it's important that everybody really know. It's a kind of Oedipal egotism, and the consequence was his father shot himself. His real father, Judge, shot himself. I think Jack Burden is finally, in terms of the characters in the novel, he is more of a doer without the knowledge and without the intention, and that's different from Willie Stark, who made good choices and bad choices as he touched the web.
Jack Burden is then an unintentional doer, and maybe that's
right.
Even more dangerous than the intentional doer.
That's right. He's a critic. He's a philosopher and a wise guy. You know, beautiful thing about this book that is to me one of the greatest things is a mixture of voices. Jack Burden has three or four voices, but the two major three voices are the philosophical voice, which puts a lot of my students off because it goes on and on, the lyrical voice, to which they respond a little better, and the tough guy voice. This is written right in the middle of film noir. I can hear Humphrey Bogart. Of course, I love John Ireland in the first movie. His voice was great. But I can hear Humphrey Bogart wisecracking with a lot of those wisecracks that Jack indulges in.
Side of the mouth, sort of like a smart-ass reporter.
Yeah, so he has a philosophical fix. He unconsciously lapses into lyricism, which is centered upon himself. And then he judges everybody sarcastically and quite wittily, not just sarcasm. You know, the meaning of sarcasm is the tearing of flesh. I think that's a Greek meaning. So he tears a lot of flesh. He does a lot of solitary philosophizing and a lot of lyrical self-indulgence. And the style shifts and shifts throughout. The problem for students and the general reader is it goes on too long with mainly the philosophical and the lyrical.
Now, this is Robert Penn Warren, of course. We assume that Jack Burden is the authorial voice.
Yeah, right. I think that's one of the great things about the novel. But Jack is too busy being philosophical, abstract, too busy self-indulging his lyrically, and too immediate in his sarcasm to actually see that as he moves among all of these doers, Willie being the main one, and Anne, she goes with Willie.
Mm-hmm. That
he is not himself making choices and doing things. And I really love the way that word something moves through the novel, with many nuances coming mainly from Anne and directing at the do-nothing Jack.
Mm. Interesting, too, because of the way the word nothing, the opposite of something in some senses, is central to Camus and to a lot of the other existential writers. But we probably need to get back a little closer to Willie Stark here.
Okay.
Tell me when you first read the book and what you thought of Willie Stark when you first read the book.
Well, the trouble I had is a trouble a lot of people have. If you've seen the first movie, then you already are mainly interested in Willie Stark. So I was. And I kept looking for the Willie Stark of the movie and finding him and not finding him. And because I'd heard about Louisiana, I kept looking for the Louisiana element and Huey Long, who interested me. So I was thinking Huey Long, Louisiana, the movie, as I read the book. And I bet that's the problem that a lot of people my age have, younger people don't, so that I felt that he was one of, like Huey Long, he was a person who really wanted to do some great things. He began as an idealist, which I am, began as a romantic idealist, which I am, that you can rise from poverty, teach yourself, which is like Lincoln and other presidents and famous people who started at a low level, and you can do great things compared with the bad things others are doing. But then he found that in order to do those great things, he had to do some things that others thought were not so good. But Anne observed him and criticized him before she went with him. So she made the same decision. It just occurred to me. She's saying to herself, okay, yeah, he's this bad person that the people in my high class of people, coming from being the daughter of a previous conservative senator, that, you know, he is everything they say, but compared with everybody around me, he's so much more on top of that. And he may pull away from the negative once he can see before him all the very good things and maybe do fewer of the so-called bad things. But then loving him makes it even more complicated once she plunges, once she touches that web. I don't think she's bitten by the spider of Willie Stark. I don't think she feels bitten. She doesn't even really apologize very much, does she?
No, she doesn't. And
to Jack?
No, she doesn't. At the end, of, you know, she comes back to him, but she's really not repentant quite, I wouldn't say. Do you think what does she love about Willie Stark? Is it his strength? Is it his certitude, his force of drive?
She probably, and again, this just occurs to me, I bet she sees qualities of her father and of Judge Irwin and other people around her, and even of her brother that she loves, Adam, in the idealism. She sees all the qualities of the men she loves except for Jack, because Willie has none of the qualities of Jack, except he's a wise guy. and so I think that's attractive, plus the fact that she gets to encounter the masculinity of the lower class. You know, it's a bit of slumming, just a bit. And that he is more than the totality of all those men around her and is realizing his potential,